This is Party Line on WILO 1570 AM and 96.9 FM, at your side since 1960. This is your forum for public opinion and comment. The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent the views of WILO management, employees, or sponsors. If you are listening live at 8:30, you're invited to give us a call locally at 765-659-3338 or toll-free at 1-800-447-4463. If you are listening to this program on our afternoon encore broadcast, don't call, just enjoy the show. Now let's join Party Line on 1570 AM and 96.9 FM WILO.
Welcome to Party Line on a TGIF. Want to thank our sponsors, Welty Custom Exteriors, Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, Encompass Credit Union, Ivy Tech Community College, Simple Time Antiques, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, Hardesty Landscaping, and Brett Capshaw, Edward Jones Advisor, and our telecast online at HoosierLandTV.com, always made possible by Ellis Jewelers, the Farmers Bank, Jim's Heating and Air Conditioning, Schultz IGA, Home National Bank, Wilson Farm Market, ProBite Computer Sales and Service, Ardente Dental, Slabby's Food and Freedom, and What's Blooming Flowers in Peru. I'm Kevin Keith. It is a Friday morning. Kind of a bittersweet morning this morning, as we've had the ladies from United Way in here the last 2 weeks, and this time's went really fast, and we'll wrap it up here after you guys talk a little bit this morning. But Anita Stewart and Carol Price, good morning once again.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My last day here, I just want to remind everybody that United Way fights for the health, education, and financial stability of every person in every community in Clinton County. So I think that's
right.
Important people, that's
right.
People to understand that. So, Carol, this is our last day on the radio. So what do you think is the most important thing that we want to share with everybody?
Well, I know we've been really busy telling them a lot of things, and, you know, our whole point of being on the radio was to share the United Way stories,
yeah.
You know, who we are and what we do and what happens in Clinton County because we're here and why we're raising the money. So we support, you know, a variety of nonprofits, and we also wanted to talk about our campaign. So let's do just that. Let's recap the campaign so far. We're
okay.
Really early in the campaign.
Very early, yeah.
We held an early Pacesetter campaign. And we ask NHK and the Farmers Bank, Wesley Manor residents, Donaldson's, and Casper Media, and Healthy Communities to all participate. The whole idea of a Pacesetter campaign is to kind of get the feel of how people are feeling about United Way and how the campaign might go.
Yep.
And so we set a goal thinking that these groups together might make us about $92,500. That was the goal. Well, it was wonderful. We came in at $135,000.
We're very excited.
And so we were really excited about that. You know, that is about 30% of our total goal of $440,000. So, you know, but then I wanted to share today. So that was our early thing.
Right.
So we thought the campaign was going to go well.
Yep.
And today we stand at $163,299, which is 37%.
That is really awesome. Just talking to other United Ways, they're saying that our campaign is off to a good start. So I think we're going to do mm-hmm. well this year. So I'm excited about
too.
That.
I think we will.
Carol, I don't think we've talked about another part of our campaign, which is what we call out of area.
Mm-hmm.
And our out of area is where people who may work at SIA, Caterpillar, UPS, those places outside of Clinton County, and they can designate that money back to Clinton County. In our campaign, that's normally around $90,000. So
oh, wow.
It's something we don't really get to control.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times those numbers don't even come in until December, January, February. So
right, right.
Sometimes it's really hard to get that number into our campaign of our $440,000.
Right. Well, I really want to be celebrating that $440,000 before Christmas.
That'd be nice.
And so I think we want our goal to be $440,000 ahead of that extra $90,000.
That would be great.
Wouldn't that be great? So we're going to work towards that.
So I was going to tell you, Carol, I know that last year I wanted to share with people, we didn't quite meet our goal last year, but that had to do with our out-of-area. But the money that we brought in just from Clinton County was more than the previous year. So I know that Clinton County has the heart and soul for United Way.
They do. And, you know, this year we're running around and they're all putting on the capes because we're doing the superhero thing
right.
This year. So
they like wearing those capes.
We got a lot of superheroes running around. So, you know, we told listeners, you know, many things last week, but I thought maybe we might want to share just a couple of experiences we've had, you know, with people, because it's all about people.
That's true.
And, You know, just yesterday, you and I met a man.
Yes, we did.
Who gave us all the cash he had in his pocket. And it was interesting, and he told us that he never puts cash in his pocket, but he that morning he was getting dressed, and he saw this money, just, you know, bills wadded up on a table, and he just thought, I'll put them in my pocket.
And
he said he didn't know why he put them in his pocket, because he doesn't do that usually. But after he met us, and he heard about United Way, he told us, he suddenly knew why
he
put that cash in his pocket, and he handed it to us.
And that really tugged at my heart when he did that. I was like, wow. I mean, just those little stories really mean a lot.
Yeah, it was great that he related that idea that he
wasn't sure
what he was going to do with that money.
Yeah, and then he pulled it out and he said, I'd like to donate this.
It was for us, so that was great.
Well, that also makes me think of another story. When I was with NHK out there, they had one of the supervisors come in, and they had some employees in there that they were sharing about United Way, and he was telling his employees, he goes, oh, they support American Red Cross. And he said, I want to show you my story with American Red Cross, that a couple years ago, his house had caught on fire, and he and his family, they lost everything. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about how that really made an effect on his family, his wife and his children, but he was really surprised at how American Red Cross stayed with them. They made sure they had the resources they need, put them up in a hotel, they made sure they had food, but it just wasn't that week of the fire. It was the second week, the week after that, and the week, and he said that gave him so much comfort because he continued to have to go to work, and just knowing that Red Cross was going to check on his family and seeing how much comfort that gave his wife, it really meant a lot to him. And he said, you know, that's the reason people should give to United Way, because it's those different agencies of the different things they could do. And I thought that was nice that he took time to share that story with his employees.
Right. So he's just sharing that if it weren't for United Way, maybe the Red Cross wouldn't be able to do all the things they
That's
do.
Right.
And he was appreciative of that. And I had a similar thing happen as I was sharing with a group of employees at a factory about United Way. And a man raised his hand, and he didn't speak to me. He spoke to his fellow workers, and he said, I hope you'll all give to United Way, because you never know when you're going to need it. He said, I was helped by United Way when I was between jobs.
Well, that sounds very familiar with what's going on right now, Carol. We have a lot of our agencies stepping up to help people who have lost jobs with COVID, or people who are still working, maybe their hours are reduced, that still need help. And that's what we're here to do. We help support those agencies who can provide that type of stuff for everybody
that's
in our
right.
community.
That's right.
So, well, just when I sit here and listen to the stories, Carol, it makes me realize that United Way really does truly fight for the health, education, and the financial stability of every person in Clinton County.
Right, right.
When people are healthy, they can learn to work they're healthy. And when people can learn, they can improve their financial stability.
Right.
When people are healthy, educated, and financially stable, they care and help others. And then, guess what? They can be contributing members of our community.
That's right. So as we help individuals, we're helping our whole community.
Right. And you know what I find out? People who can give just a little makes them feel good, and that's what it's all about.
That's right. You know, I feel really privileged, and I'm pleased that I can do this work for the people of Clinton County. I really enjoy working with United Way, and so much good comes from the gifts that people give, and we pull it all together, and it makes a big impact. And I know that people are out there looking for ways they can help others, because it's just the human nature.
Right.
We want to help other people. And so I want to just say, remember, we're asking everyone to become a superhero and put on that cape and do what you can. Step up and step out.
We appreciate that. So I sure hope people will do that. I know that we've got those capes that they want to put them on.
That's
so.
Right.
And you know what? You can make a difference. Every day, people are superheroes every single day, whether it's financial or volunteering. And remember, if you want to reach out to volunteer or donate, you can call 654-5573 or check us out on Facebook, United Way for Clinton County, or our website. And if you want to mail a check or just write us a note, you can send it to 1100 Walnut Avenue. So, Carol,
that's
our
great.
Tagline tonight is a little bit different.
It's not tonight.
Oh, that's right. It is the morning, so
I
thank
know,
you.
It's been a long day already.
Don't do that to me.
You have been so busy. Kevin was about to panic there.
Yeah.
I didn't sleep last night. It's all running into the sun.
I know. We've already been busy this morning. So, what we're going to finish up our radio time with is a new tag
at
the end. We are doing it together, and we will get it done. Thank you.
All right. Yes. Thank you. So again, October 31st, right?
right.
is the date. So do everything you can in that. And if you ladies would, let us have an update once a week or so.
We will.
October 31st. And you could call in or get with me and Ken. We could get you back in here or something.
We will. And we thank Casper Media for not only your Pacesetter campaign, but allowing us to come on here and running our little radio spots.
That's right.
And it's been a good partnership.
Yeah, it has been. Thank you, ladies. Have a great weekend. Good luck.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. That is wrap it up, our United Way two-week feature here on Party Line. And again, October 31st, so you've got some time, but go ahead and make those plans, a little over a month. The WILO Skywatch weather forecast is mostly sunny today. We'll see a daytime high up to 80 degrees, clear tonight, low 59, mostly sunny tomorrow, high 84. Partly sunny on Sunday with a high 82. Todd's put a little extended forecast here that rain's starting to move back into the area early next week. And if I'm not mistaken, somebody had told me a day or two ago, I think it might have been WLFI, looking ahead in the extended forecast, things are going to be pretty chilly to start the week. I might actually have that up here. I'll pull up the quick 10-day forecast from the Weather Channel. So we're looking at, Monday 67 is going to be the daytime high. Tuesday 65 for the high. Wednesday 66. Thursday 61. Next Friday and Saturday, holy cow, I hadn't looked ahead. Next Thursday, October 1st, 61 for the daytime high with 35 the overnight low. And then a week from today, 58 for the daytime high and 35 the overnight low. So just give you a little indication of what we are looking at. It's certainly fall. 51 now from your official weather station, WILO. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning. You're getting closer to your true love of weather there.
I know. I'm kind of excited about it.
If it snows, I'm coming after you.
I know, right? Yeah, I'll let you come after me if it snows. I want to say a special thanks this morning to Flowers and Friends in Flora. The ladies up there, of course, keep Flora and Flowers and all the surrounding areas. But they've helped us out occasionally as we may have a death in the Casper Media family or somebody that we want to send flowers to. And it's kind of hard, to find something locally sometimes. So we appreciate Flowers and Friends in Flora helping us out, particularly this weekend for some needs we have. So thank you very much, ladies. Ken Hartman and myself are going to be here. Now, Ken, I'm so discombobulated this morning.
This morning?
Yeah, right, as opposed to, right?
You leave it so wide open, I can't behave myself too
that's,
much.
That's all right.
I know you'll get even at some point in time.
Right. So I didn't have my handy cheat sheets out. So coming up, we've got, Matt Oliver?
Yes,
oh, okay,
do.
Good. It'll be good to wrap the week up with Matt.
Yep.
And
Sheriff's Office at 9.
Yes. Talked to Ashley through text this morning, and she said Sheriff Kelly be giving us a call around 9 o'clock. And then Matt Oliver, that'll be nice to talk with him to kind of end the week, maybe get us all back on a little more sane schedule. So Cindy's trying to get a hold of Matt right now, which we do have, so let's go ahead and move on with it. As part of the WILO and Clinton County Chamber of Commerce leading with 2020 vision, Matt Oliver. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning to you.
Thanks for calling us in again, always this morning. We thought it would be appropriate to end the week with you just to get us back on an even keel for our mental health.
Oh, well, thank you. happy to join you.
Just a good reminder this morning, yeah. So thank you.
Matt, we all need our mental health about us, that's for sure.
That's true. Matt, you know, With the governor saying if we're starting to stage 5 tomorrow, what's the most important part for us mentally and everything else that we need to remember and do?
Remember and do. Perspective about the things that are within our control that we can do to manage exposure to illness and to cope. There's a number of things for sure. Just the basics, of course, is, taking our standard precautions for safety. So, social distancing, use masks appropriate, hand wash regularly are basics. But the other things that I think we do is we've got to make sure we're mindful about sometimes we or others are experiencing quite a bit of distress, and giving a little bit of grace goes a long way. And there's definitely some things that we could do to help give each other grace. Sometimes making sure we're getting a little exercise, whether it's a walk or it's a jog or it's taking some time outside while it's still warm enough. Those things help for reflection and appreciation. Gratitude does amazing things for our state of mind, and it can really make a difference.
What do you, how important is the fact that we need not to screw this up this time, and keep everything going in a positive manner? Yeah. How important is that to the mental psyche of everybody?
I think while some restrictions have been very helpful for maintaining, the economy and helping it get back up, we've been able to have a little more time to resource up for whether it's ventilators or PPE. Our success is dependent on us working together and having a balanced approach. And so I think, again, there's sometimes a hassle to be wearing masks at times, but it's also a good way to make sure we're taking care of each other. And, I think that right now, some of the behavioral health things that we're seeing in the community are simple but subtle. We oftentimes find ourselves more stressed, not just because, some work-related stresses about, unemployment. Unemployment, thankfully, is going down. We're making some headway there. But we still have a lot of other stresses. We just don't see people as much as we used to. We don't have as much downtime at the water cooler as we used to. If we're working from home or if we're basically working in an office, we may not necessarily be in the same kind of meetings that we used to be. And so if we're thinking this is more work-related, but people juggling, kids, family, pets, and work from home, or where they may be a little more isolated, that sets us up for, I think, just general distress where people can find burnout and other kinds of, depression or anxiety issues being more significant. And so whether you're at work as a supervisor or whether you're home as a parent or caregiver, some of the things that really make a difference are simply being visible, making sure we're taking time to intentionally listen. If we're at work, reporting back progress, but really recognizing people and appreciating people. We also want to make sure we're not ignoring the distress. When we sense people are getting distressed and animated, that's where it's getting tougher for us as leaders or as parents. Make sure we're taking time to really listen, because really when people are stressed, they're just stressed, and so they may talk more or they may have more conflict. And we've got to make sure we slow things down enough that we're able to resolve concerns where people feel heard and understood. And that makes, again, a big difference. But it's a challenge, because time is always working against us. It doesn't ever slow down. And so we have to intentionally slow down some of our obligations so we can be more present with people. And that will help us out in realizing that we're in this together. And stress has a way of not always putting us at our best.
How's the best way for everybody to try and get through something like that? I mean, because, social distancing and masks are still going to be an issue. And it's very difficult for people to get together because of that. So how would be the best way in your mind to help bridge that and help get some people back together? Because I think that's what a lot of people are missing right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So, people have talked about Zoom and other kinds of virtual connections. That is definitely true. But I think reaching out to people and looking at how can we cultivate opportunities to get together. Thankfully, a lot of shops are open, and that even if you have to wear a mask to get in, you're still able to get seated and then take the mask down, mm-hmm. or you might have smaller gatherings. I think that one of the things I encourage people to do is be more intentional about it. Again, I think time works against us where we get isolated and we're busy, and we don't oftentimes just connect with people. So the biggest thing to do is say, hey, what can I do to make sure I'm more connected today than I was yesterday? How can I make sure I take a simple time, whether it's going and getting a coffee or whether it's a simple conversation, and it can be simple things, going out to the art exhibit in the local museum or art association or whatever. But make sure we're taking time to intentionally talk to others. It does a world of good for others, and it does a lot of good for ourselves.
And the one thing we really need to make sure is that we don't, as we said earlier, just don't have this thing go backwards on us. We've got something going good, and just make sure it doesn't go backwards.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. Our collective interests are to make sure this goes well, and that does mean we still will have to take some precautions.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though people would say, you know, I just don't want to have to deal with COVID, it's not a big risk for me. It can be a risk for other people, and it risks, you know, when you're a large employer and you got a lot of staff that come in, you don't know what they're doing on their personal lives. But the less we have outbreaks in our workplaces, that helps us stay open, and that helps everybody be a little bit more supported because it keeps our economy going, and that ultimately makes people feel better. But it also gives us a sense that things are getting better. But it doesn't mean we can let up our guard, and it doesn't mean that we can't. It doesn't mean we don't have some responsibility making sure we're taking precautions for all of our sakes.
Okay, are we missing anything that you want to bring up, or anything else we need to talk about?
You know, I just want to let people know that we're always here for behavioral health. The Community Howard, Frankfort, right on the square. Feel free to look us up at ecommunity.com, Howard Mental Health, or give us a call. Get our website. We can get you in quickly if you need to. Again, depression, anxiety is real things, but it's also very treatable. And then also to your team, thank you for bringing the community together. We very much appreciate being able to get the word out as we work together to do it.
Matt, thanks much for the time. We greatly appreciate it, and you take good care, okay?
All right, you too. Take care.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Matt. That's the WILO in Clinton County Chamber of Commerce leading with 2020 Vision. I'm Kevin Keith, and that's Ken Harbin over there. We've got about 8 minutes left in the first portion of the program. If you'd like to give us a call and talk to us about something, 659-3338 is the phone number to call. Not to get too heavy this morning, Ken, but I wanted to let everybody know what the follow-up was on what happened in Louisville. The other day, they came back with three counts of wanton endangerment against one of those three cops that shot and killed Breonna Taylor back in March. And I've done a little digging from four different sources, two of those being television stations in Louisville. Just to let everyone know, I mean, because they've been having protests the last two nights there, Ken, that the charge did not satisfy the mob.
I know.
As we were afraid would be the case. Now, the first night it came out, there were two officers shot, and I think both of those are going to be okay.
Yeah, they were pretty much fine yesterday from everything I read.
Right. Now, the cops were lawfully doing their job, according to a Lexington jury, which is about an hour and a half down the road from Louisville, and the attorney general for the state of Kentucky. This guy, Jamarcus Glover, was a notorious criminal. Now, they came to be at Breonna's home with a search warrant based on probable cause that evidence of narcotics would be found. Now, Breonna was 26 years old, a hospital emergency room technician who wanted to become a nurse. Over the years, though, she got mixed up with this Glover guy who was just bad news from the start. She even remained with him and romantically involved, even though he had spent a couple years in prison and stayed with him there. In 2016, she agreed to rent a car for him and ended up being interviewed in a murder investigation. A man was found shot to death behind the steering wheel of that car, and drugs were found in it. In the years that followed from 2016, Glover repeatedly arrested on drug charges. She bailed him out five times over 4 years. Now, Glover and his co-conspirators were said to be operating a series of trap houses for stashing illegal drugs, crack, marijuana, prescription pills, and fentanyl. At the time of Glover's arrest in late 2019, police observed narcotics pickups and had informant information describing crack sales and a surveillance system. So when the police went in, according to the body cam, Walker had fired at one of the police officers, Mr. Mattingly, when he came through the door, and they were fired upon before reasonably responding to that lethal force. So the state of Kentucky, I think, was right not to opt for mob justice, and what happened to her was certainly a tragedy. The city of Louisville just paid $12 million to her family rather than trying to fight it. So not that that could bring Breonna back, but, again, just trying to keep things in perspective. So tomorrow morning, Ken, we wake up and we still have to wear our masks and and have our social distancing. But when you go out to the bar tomorrow night, you can have as many people as you
want. I'm not going to the bar tomorrow night. I got my own bar at home. So I'm keeping it at home.
I'd rather be at your bar anyway, probably.
Yeah, I think you probably would too.
So tomorrow the governor will open up restrictions, which means if you're getting married or have a class reunion or something, there's no real restrictions on that. But mm-hmm. we're asking everyone to still be responsible.
Yeah, and as we've been trying to say is that the last thing we want and we need, especially with holidays coming, mm-hmm. is to have to go back to square one.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the absolute worst thing. And if we don't heed certain things, that's where we're going to wind up.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
And I don't want to sound like a preacher, and I don't want to sound like I'm
negative.
Yeah,
right.
But I'm just saying, it's what's going to happen if, I know mm-hmm. it's the biggest two-letter word in English language.
Right.
If we don't. You know, do what we're supposed to do and keep doing what we've been doing.
Mm-hmm. And then just, that was barely enough.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're just
be honest,
barely hanging on. So,
right.
Was you surprised when the governor said he's going to open up Saturday?
It caught me a little off guard.
Yeah.
I'm just like, really?
You know,
I was totally surprised by that.
Well, it remains to be seen how Indy and Marion County will be this weekend. Mayor Joe Hogsett will host a news conference at 10 this morning to detail his plan for the weekend's reopening. As we said, Governor Holcomb this week said the state's coronavirus restrictions will largely end tomorrow. Local restrictions, however, can stay in place. There was another story a little deeper down here, but I thought it should have been a little closer to the top of our Kevin's stack of stuff. There, of course, all of our stuff has some kind of coronavirus-related mm-hmm. thing. And I want to find this here just because, let's see, blah, 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 blah. I saw where the Major League Baseball season is going to end a little earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of surprised by that. I thought they
I'm not surprised.
I thought they kind of... Had found a plan for that.
Well, not yet. I don't think they have just yet.
Well, this is the story. Scientists in Houston say the latest strain of the coronavirus has mutated to become more contagious. Again, I'm trying not to be negative Nilly, or Nelly, or however you say it. I want to be positive, not test positive, right? So they say that the latest strain has become more contagious. The mutation could also make a vaccine less effective. The genetic study found the second wave is making people sicker faster. Even the quote-unquote spike protein on the outside of the virus has mutated to stick to us even harder. So...
I am convinced, I am thoroughly convinced that this is going to be a everyday part of our life, the rest of our life.
Rest of our life? You think so?
Yes, I do.
It could very well be, or one of those things that pops up every couple of years.
Because,
you know?
as I think we were talking yesterday, I don't know if I was talking with you, I think we were,
mm-hmm.
The fact of the matter is that, you know, they saw this happen once, and they said, oh, gee, look at all the effects of it. And who's to say, you know, some people would say, why not let's do it again and see what happens?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, I don't know what the answer
is
there.
And everybody kind of says, you know, that might be the next type of war. I think we're going to see a cyber war first before we see that one. But
because
the problem is that we can say we're going to have a nuclear war all you want. The problem is that why do you want to have a nuclear war? Because if you have a nuclear war, it's all over for everybody.
I know. I thought about that when I was growing up, because that scared me to death when I was in fifth grade and uh-huh. started to learn about nuclear options and uh-huh. stuff. And I thought, man, because you're right, there would be nothing left.
The thing of it is, okay, say we'll say we go nuclear bomb somebody or they go nuclear bomb us. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The general rule of thumb is the people who do that, who are victorious, want to make sure they claim that land.
Hmm.
There's going to be nothing there.
Right. It's going to be
barren.
Barren holes.
That's right.
Holes in the
so
earth.
So why would you do that?
Yeah.
Well, I don't see that.
I'm glad that nobody has.
Well, yeah.
You know, I'm really surprised.
And as I said, I think chemical warfare will be a huge part of the next.
Yeah, that is the future, right? Yeah.
Cyber war and community and chemical warfare.
Whether we like it or not.
Yep.
All right, we're going to take a break, regroup here, and we'll come right back with Clinton County Sheriff Rich Kelly next on Wylo's Party Line.